Ho, ho, ho. I see every person fulfilled. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with instant illumination. I see every person fulfilled. It's easy for us to go around the world and see people in limitation. When we are in limitation ourselves, if we go around the world and see people in war, we're at war. When we see people sick, we're sick. No matter what we see, that's what we are. Unfortunately, that's the case. Now, you say, well, what about these wealthy people who are helping the needy people? Well, they're helping the needy people because they're seeing the people in need, and they're in need themselves. They're in need to be fulfilled in any way. They're not fulfilled. They may have all the money in the world. You know, a lot of people have money. And what happens to them when they have money? They commit suicide, you know, and do other stupid things. And you say, my God, they had everything. Well, no, they didn't. They didn't feel fulfilled. They didn't feel good about themselves. They didn't feel that they were worthwhile, you know. It's fantastic. Now, what are you going to do? How are you going to look at the world around you? How are you going to look at the people around you? How are you going to look at the circumstances around you? Are you going to go out and help the needy people? If you do, you watch. You'll have lots of needy things in your life. Now you say, now what do you mean by that? Well, people who have families that split, for instance, they look at other marriages that are split. And they see other people who don't get along together, and they think that vilifies them and allows them to have been had a poor marriage. And people say, I had a divorce, and people say to me, Herb, if you teach togetherness and so forth, how come you had a divorce? Well, I hadn't quite come to this point in my consciousness at that point. And now I tell my former wife, I say, I would never marry anybody else as far as I can see. You're the only woman in my world. You're the only woman in my life. And I love you, but I don't choose to live with you because your style of living and my style of living are different, you know. Nothing against you. It's just that we're different. And, oh, well, you should go and reunite your marriage. You should go, hey, no. Get your nose out of my business. I don't got my nose in your business. Get your nose out of my business. My wife and I came to terms. And she is coming to terms every day with the realization that I'm a good guy and she's a good lady. And that we didn't choose to go along together. It's just fine, too. Why doesn't every man and every woman on the face of the earth marry each other, you know? So you should have a zillion marriages, you know? Each man has a zillion wives and each woman has a zillion husbands. Yeah. You think that's cool. That's not cool at all. That's not cool at all. But in fact, that is the truth. In fact, if you keep your nose out of other people's business, you have the perfect relationship. You have the perfect marriage. You have the perfect harmony that comes in the world. You see, the reason inharmony comes into our world is because we are putting our nose in where it doesn't belong. We're putting our nose in how things should be done, how things could be done, how things might be beautiful and fantastic. Now, when I go to Nigeria, and I see this third world country, and I see some people, you know, who are begging a little bit, and they come to me, I say, hey, I see you abundant. I see you with every desire of your heart fulfilled right now. You're a fantastic man. And then I was on television at the time I was saying some of this here. This one man came up to me in a disheveled costume, and I said to him, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. Stand up. Put your chest out, chin up, shoulders back. I said, now, what do you think of yourself? Oh, I feel good. I said, keep like that all the way, and you'll be good, and you'll have lots of money, and you'll have lots of friends, you'll have lots of relationships, all harmony, all perfection, all joy, all good. And he says, whew, remember I told you about that? Yeah. And I should have got a clip of that. Not that it mattered, but the thing is, He would do that to anybody. Ingeborg walking around here, and she's had a busy day, and so here she is, 300 years old, and she's bending her head down a little bit and sort of struggling with her feet, and I say, Ingeborg, put your shoulders back, chin up, chest out, you know, get yourself. And when she does that, she says, yeah, I feel good. And isn't that it? Yeah. You see, you let go of the old way. I can only see Ingeborg as a spring chicken, you know. I can only see people in my world as abundant. There's nobody in my world who comes to me for welfare. Now, when I am, we are a bona fide religious organization, charitable and all that jazz, and that's for people giving things to us. And so, yet, in the 30 years that this corporation has been in effect this year, I think maybe 8 or 10 times, maybe not that many, people have come to us and asked for a handout. They have come to us and asked for help. Their family is this, their family is that. And I say to them, where have you gone? And they say, I went to the Salvation Army, I went here, I went there. I say, what did they give you? Oh, they gave me so much, so much, so much. And what did you do with it? You know, did you spend it on what you told them you were going to spend it on? Well, we had to have a beer. And I said, that's good. Then the beer was that important, and you just enjoy it. I don't tell you how to spend it or how not to spend it. Whatever you get, you can spend any way you want. But if you ever say, please give me a dime for a cup of coffee, this is a long time ago, please give me $1.20 for a cup of coffee, you better buy a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Because you have promised yourself that whatever money you got from somebody was going to go for that cup of coffee. One woman came up to me in the shopping center in El Cajon, and she looked a little bit sad, but not bad. And so she came up and she says, I need to buy a bus ticket to go back to San Diego, you know. And I said, well, what are you doing out here? She said, well, I, you know, I was begging. And I said, well, how did you get here? She says, I had a bus ticket. And I said, you mean you took a bus ticket to come out here to beg, and you didn't make enough, and you're begging to take you back? That's very interesting. What are you going to do with the money for the bus ticket? How much does it cost? Oh, $5, $10, she said, you know, whatever she said. And I said, my goodness, that would buy you a ticket all the way to San Francisco, you know? And are you really being honest with yourself, what you want the money for? Why don't you just say you want the money so you can go buy a bottle of wine and relax under a tree, you know, if that's what your choice is. She says, I don't want to talk to you. And so then she went away and begged from somebody else. And you see, you must be honest with yourself, because people will see right through that if you're not. And they'll say, hey, I only deal with people who are honest with themselves. I only deal with myself when I'm honest with myself. And I don't see any needy people in the world. And I don't see any people in the world who have problems. I see people who are fulfilled, people who are uplifted, people who are supportive of their own goals and their own ideals. I see everyone fulfilled. Can you say that for yourself? Now be careful. Because when I say, can you say that for yourself, and you have any little bit of feeling sorry for yourself, you got a problem. You see, if you are uplifted and fulfilled, you don't have any problems. You don't feel sorry for yourself. You don't feel that anything in your life is missing, because you got everything. And life is wonderful. Now, what are you going to make of it? You're going to make it wonderful, make it happy, make it joyous, make it fulfilled, make it fantastic? That's up to you. As far as I am concerned, I am a happy, happy person. You know that?
Yes.
And I see everybody else happy. Should I change for illusions? Or, you know? No.
For goodness sakes.
No. I see, now, come on, say yes about this. I see everybody wealthy.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I see everybody healthy.
Yes.
I see everybody surrounded by harmonious beings.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh. And I see the world at peace.
Yes.
Well, now, what's the problem?
No problem.
No problem. Kind of nice, isn't it? Okay. Now, if each of us see everything that way all the time, it's great. Rhonda has a son called Anthony. And Anthony comes home from school, and he says, "Mom, guess what?" Mom says, "Anthony, that's not the way to approach me. But guess what happened at school today? We got our test results." And Mom thinks, "Oh, my God, he failed." Well, now, if she's any kind of a mother, she will say, "And how many else got on the top like you? You know, how many were on the top like you? How many were on the top like you?" And he'll say, you know. And, of course, he'll have to say, "April Fool, you know, I was first of the class." But the thing is, if she expects he's going to be a loser, then she's a loser expecting him to be a loser and making him a loser in her life, you know. Whereas he actually may have been a winner. Because, you know, there's a lot of the kids, and I get a big kick out of them. They come home from school. They say, "Mom, I got second." You know? Mm-hmm. And, well, what grade did you get? "Well, I got 99.5 and I got second place." Well, sweetheart, that's pretty good. "But I wanted first." Well, did you think anybody was better than you? "Well, Mary's always been..." Uh-huh. So, no wonder you gave it to Mary. Now, if you know you're the top, if you know you're the best, then you will get the best grade always. But do parents teach their kids this? The girl comes running in the house, moaning, groaning, you know. Her dad says, "Who hurt you? Who did something to you?" You know, "Nobody." "Well, why are you crying?" "Well, I got second in the class." "Second in your class, and you're crying? You know, you should be singing Hosanna, you know, fantastic. Now, if you ever come into this house again with that sort of an attitude on your face, I'm going to kick you right out. And you're not coming back in this house until you got a good attitude on your face. You know?"
Yeah.
Yeah. But parents don't do that. "Oh, sweetheart, what's the matter? Oh, dear. Oh, your teacher just didn't understand you, did you? She would have given you that other point, too, you know, if she understood you." Yeah. And don't blame it on teacher. It's the kid. If the kid says, "I'm a winner and I'm top of the class," that's where the key will be. If the kid says, "The teacher is at fault and the other kids are at fault and Mary is a better student than I am," how about that, you see? But this is a world where I see everyone fulfilled. Can you afford to see everyone fulfilled? So when Rhonda has her son come home from school and say, "Mom," and she instantly says, "Yes, sweetheart, what wonderful news do you have for me?" Do not give an inch to something that you don't want to give an inch to. So, have a lovely day. Know that I love you. 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 And stuff like that.